pase, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Monday, March 25th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins. As always, how was your weekend, Dwayne?
I've got Twitter back.
Twitter. Dwayne is back on Twitter.
I know, it's for 4 days. I don't want to bore people with the drama, but for 4 days I was locked out of my account on this annoying password reset loop. So I reset it, and I'm boring you with the details now. But the bottom line is I'm back, and it's pathetic how much I missed it. But I'm back!
Dwayne's back. He can now like actually talk about what's going on in his life on Twitter, which, that's the question, right? If you're not on Twitter and you don't talk about your life, is your life actually happening?
If a tree falls in the forest.
Exactly. That's the question. Canada 4, French Guyana 1. Will obviously review the latest CONCACAF Nations League result for Canada. We'll look at the standings. And yes, Haiti beat us. Haiti finished first. Canada finished second. But we'll talk about this win. We'll talk about what we thought about the performance of a few players. We'll quickly talk about the five MLS teams as well later today. But Canada scored 4 goals, conceded 1, won 4-1 against French Guyana, a brace by Lucas Cavallini, and a goal by Jonathan David and Junior Horlett. But Jonathan David, a goal and an assist in this game. Dwayne, am I mistaken by looking at Jonathan David and seeing a big spark plug running all around the field? It seems he sparks everything that's going on in the offensive zone for Canada.
Well, no, he was the story yesterday, for sure. I mean, you know, Cavallini, as you say, scored. Maybe we'll talk about him in a minute. But David was, we kind of all wondered what this kid could be on an international level, and he sort of showed a little bit yesterday of what we might be. It allowed us to be excited, basically, is what I'm saying here. And that's a great thing, because the other thing about this, that I looked at this, and you look at a guy like Jonathan David coming off or having that kind of game, and 3-4 years ago, who would be talking about it as like our one great sort of hope? And that was Kyle Larin, and he didn't even, you know, he came off the bench, right? We have all these offensive talents now, and it allows us to cruise into a game like that. Like, look, it's French Guyana. So let's put that on a shelf for a second and just realize that it's French Guyana. But at the same time, in the past, we all would have been a little bit nervous going into a game against French Canada, because even though we thought that maybe Canada was better, we would have still maybe believed there was a possibility that they just might not find the back of the net. Remember that qualifying game in the last campaign in El Salvador that would have sent them through, had they, you know, found a goal and they didn't get a goal, even though we dominated the game? Well, that was our life not even for 4 or 5 years ago. And
Dwayne,
now
Dominica,
we went into that game yesterday.
Remember that Dominica friendly at BMO Field where Kyle Larin made his debut or something like that? They won 1-0. That's when Kyle Larin missed a sitter too, and they didn't look that good. You're right. Just an example here.
This is not meant to bash Kyle Larin, but it's now they create. Like, there was no drama yesterday, even with the terrible goal that we'll talk about probably. There was just no drama. They clearly were going to win that game. From the time it kicked off to the time it ended, it wasn't even a question. And I have been to a lot of games against those type of teams in the past, like physically there. Yeah. And it's been work to get through them. Even though they were better, it was work. Yesterday wasn't work, really. And French Guyana is not even like, that's like a mid-level minnow, right? Like, there's much, much worse teams in CONCACAF.
Oh, yeah.
You can look into League C. Is much, much worse.
Is there League D? Because League D will probably be no, but yeah. That's what I had the same feeling watching the game as well yesterday. Is even when Canada conceded the goal, which we'll talk about in a second, we still saw confidence. We saw the creativity. We saw them block, go forward. And catch French Guyana in the midfield. French Guyana was not disciplined in their midfield. They were all over the place. They were not compact, and they were not organized in the midfield in their position. And often when they would go forward to attack Canada, they would stay there 20, 30 seconds too long, and the ball's already gone through the midfield. It's already in your defensive zone, and Canada was attacking French Guyana. That was a big problem for French Guyana, and Canada was able to recognize that, was able to send their men forward, was able to link up the play. Piette was able to look forward and give it to Marc-Anthony Kay, who was kind of like the link-up man. I really liked the adjustment that Canada did in this game to be able to get those quick goals at the end of the first half and that fourth goal in the second half. I liked it. It wasn't a perfect performance. It should have been a lot more goals. Canada here, let's quickly take a look at the stats right here. Canada had 18 shots, 8 shots on target, Dwayne. Only 5 shot off target, 5 block shot, 5 corners, 15 crosses. That is an indication that sometimes Canada will play direct when they feel they have the physical advantage and the height advantage and basically a skill advantage in the box for headers. We've seen goals like this in this game too. But 15 crosses, 17 fouls, 4 offside, which basically is Junior Hollet trying to get free and trying to get that ball over the top. Sure. But yeah, for me, Dwayne, the stat that is interesting is 540 total passes for Canada, 86% passing accuracy. So for me, it's the passing accuracy and the total passes. What happened? Is Canada Barcelona?
No.
Obviously, I'm kidding. I'm obviously kidding. Yeah. But yeah.
I know. In this context, sure. More to the point, is Canada, you know, I don't know, Panama yet. No, I thought it was a good result. I thought this entire 4-game campaign, I mean, I am so glad Canada had to go through this. I really am. Because had they been like Cuba or one of those, not Cuba, the TNT,
yeah,
and playing a friendly in Europe yesterday, it's not the same thing. This was legit. Like, they had to get the result. Regardless of who the opponent was, they had to go out and get the result. I think this is an incredibly beneficial thing to the program. And the fact that they came second from the top and only a screwed up back pass prevented them from winning the top of all of these groups is reassuring, I think, to anyone who supports this program, as most of our listeners do, or at least are friendly to it if you're American, right? Like, it's reassuring that yes, yeah, we had to go through this, but at least we're the best of them. I mean, Haiti beat us, I guess, but whatever, it's an equal schedule. The point is that they were never in danger in this, and I think in the past, as I said already, not to, you know, repeat myself, but as I said already, this would have been work. It wasn't work. We just brushed them aside. We were like, yeah, get out of the way. Get out of the way. And now it's time to play some real teams.
Yeah. Speaking of games, during the broadcast, they talked about some friendlies for Canada. There will be friendlies between now and the Gold Cup this summer. We just don't know yet who those opponents will be and where those games and when. But there will be friendlies for Canada before the Gold Cup. And that's a big news, because we were looking for that news for a few weeks, Wayne. And it's going to happen. So we're happy about that. We'll talk about Cavallini in a second. Wow, that player has grown in confidence and musculature and in maturity over the last 10, 11 years. But Samuel Piette and that back pass to Milan Borjan yesterday that led to the only goal for French Guyana. It was disappointing. It was maybe the only really bad play of Samuel Piette in this entire game. Dwayne, you were able to see why I'm so high on Samuel Piette with the Montreal Impact. His little step up when he's the sentinel in front of the defense, and his instinct to not get rid of the ball in a dangerous position. It's funny that I'm saying this when we're talking about him doing the exact opposite for once and contributing to a goal for the opposing team. But for me, Samuel Piette and his safe ball transition, it is important going forward for Canada, especially with a player like Marc-Anthony Kay next to him that is able to be that transition link and bring that ball forward, and then him serving the offensive trio of Ouellette, David, and Cavallini. But Samuel Piette, a maestro in the midfield for Canada.
No, look, the fact that John Hervin is starting him ahead of Marc-Anthony Kay, who's been remarkably successful in MLS over the start of his career, right? It says something to me, and you know, I think also Herdman invented a position yesterday called the left defensive midfielder,
yes.
left central defensive midfielder.
The wing defensive midfielder.
Yeah, he invented a new position where we're groundbreaking here with MAK. But yeah, no, Piatt, other than that one moment, which was just, you know, like when you watch this game long enough, there's moments of madness that happen sometimes, and that was it. But I'm not going to worry too much about it because they just brushed it off, and that again was, it was almost better again. This whole thing has been like, you know, it's technically bad that they had to go through qualifying and didn't automatically get one of those spots in Group A. But the fact that they went into qualifying was a blessing in disguise. I think it was not technically bad. It was literally bad that that happened, but it was a blessing in disguise because it proved that they could overcome a little adversity. They didn't, you know, put their heads down, and Canadian teams in the past really would have put their heads down. Christ, they might have lost the game from there in the past, right? So
I've seen a Honduras game.
It didn't answer,
you know, yeah. I've seen a Honduras game in BC, at BC Place, that we were winning and then we drew and it cost us a place in the hex. So yeah, no, I've seen this movie before, and this sequel is different. This is not a sequel; it's a reboot. This is a reboot of the Canadian men's national team brand. This universe, this soccer-matic universe, has been rebooted. There was a snap, and now we have 5 wins in a row. Canada. 5 wins in a row, Dwayne. Canada's won 5 games. 4 games in the CONCACAF Nations League and against New Zealand. What's happening?
They're playing in the CONCACAF Nations League qualifying and against New Zealand. But, yeah, we'll take what we can get. No, it's good. It's great. You got to win. You got to get some confidence out there. I do like Dennis Luzzatto, you know, MLS soccer.com, Canadian writer, Canadian Premier League writer. We all know Squid. He quite helpfully pointed out last night that the one good thing that came out of the 8-1 loss was that Cavallini was capsized that day. So talk about finding, you know, rainbows in a thunderstorm. There you go.
Talk about it. Finding the rainbow in a thunderstorm. Yeah. And Cavallini, speaking of, 2 goals. Not the prettiest goal he's ever scored, but it's not about how pretty are the goals. It's, was he at the right place at the right time to create those opportunities and those goals? And he was. Look at the size of his shoulders. First of all, when I saw him on my TV screen, I was like, who's that? Who's that guy? And did he eat Cavallini? Because he looked like Hulk ate Cavallini. And I was like, wow, Mexico is doing an amazing job for this player in his confidence, in his demeanor, in his body language. When I was looking at him, either trying to get into a good scoring position, just movement off of Guyana players, and I was thinking to myself, wow, is this the same Lucas Cavallini that I've seen before? Wow, look at his, just the strength he had on duels, just the confidence and the fire in his eyes, the eye of the tiger, the concentration. Use whatever cliche you want, but his look, the way he was looking at the ball, ready to eat it, I don't know. There's something about this player right now. His confidence level, his, like, I would say, how he views the field in his mind before he does movement, every single step seems to be worth it. It's hard for me to put into words, but I was duly impressed by Cavallini yesterday.
Look, I mean, first off, if I lived in Mexico, I'd be heavier too, but maybe not leaner. I do like a burrito, but I can do a burrito right now. Is it not yet? Anyway. No, look, he goes into every game in Liga MX, which is a really good league, an underrated league in the world, and as an underdog, because he's playing for a bottom of the table kind of team, right? And they have to fight for everything there, and that's obviously benefiting this guy a lot. And I love Liga MX in terms of a potential place for Canadian players to play. And you know, there's another one now that, you know, he's hurt that they'll be coming into the next one as well. So it's just a good training ground for him. This is a guy that has been pushing himself in the South American and Central American kind of leagues for the past 10 years, basically. And it shows. I voted for him as the Canadian Player of the Year last year. He did not win. Alfonso Davies did. I understand the marketing reasons why that was appropriate. But at the same time, to me, Cavallini has, over the last 2 or 3 years, been the best Canadian player in the world. And nothing I saw yesterday would convince me otherwise.
He's the best striker in Canada right now. Like, never mind Kyle Lahren. It is Lucas Cavallini that is the best striker right now that gives Canada the best chance for a goal every single game. And, you know, he's been playing for the... He had his first kick of the ball with the Canadian men's national team 11 years ago. And before yesterday's game, Cavallini scored 4 goals only. And yesterday, 2 goals for Cavallini. So that's now 6 with Canada. But we do feel that there's going to be a lot more in the future than in the past. And he's becoming John Herdman's favorite option for a striker. And it's almost a point that cannot even be debated. It's Lucas Cavallini, first striker, and Kyle Lahren second, if not even third, depending of the depth chart and which week and how he is feeling.
Yeah, and I think in terms, if you were going to do a depth chart with just offensive weapons, Kyle Lahren's like about seventh now. And I think that's the story that really comes off this. I think he's useful coming off the bench. It's useful for him to fight. But Kyle Lahren has not developed in the way that we hoped he would have. But this program now has enough depth that is not, it's not fatal to it. It would have been fatal 10 years ago, for sure. You would have needed every ounce out of every potential player you have. Now you can afford a guy that has struggled over the past 2 years. I mean, he's gone to Turkey and good for him, and he got paid, but he hasn't really done much over there, to be honest. And, you know, that surprised me. I thought he would. So, you know, I'm sorry that happened, but it happened. And he is certainly not producing the Canadian national team. So I don't know what the answer for Kyle Lahren is. Maybe move back to MLS. I think that would maybe be appropriate. But
Ballou, too, because Ballou's not playing with Albacete. Ballou hasn't played a competitive game over the last couple of weeks. So I wouldn't mind Ballou being back to Montreal. He was saying to a French radio show earlier this week that he would be open to come back to Montreal, and he would love to get some playing time. So I wouldn't be surprised if one day in the next few years or months, Ballou Tabla comes back from Montreal in a way too. But no, it was a happy day for Canada. Canada finished second in the Nations League. And let's quickly take a look, Dwayne, at just the top 10 of the CONCACAF Nations League. Haiti finished first with 4 games played, 4 wins, 0 draws, obviously, 0 losses, 19 goals scored, 2 goals against. That will be the big stats here. Number 1 for Haiti. Canada finished second because of the goal conceded by Samuel Piet and Mial Borjan versus French Guyana. Canada finishes second, 18 goals for, 1 goals against for 17 as well, but it's goals for is the first tiebreaker in that tiebreaker, so that's why 80 Canada. Martinique, third, Dwayne, 4 wins. The only 3 teams with 4 wins is Haiti, Canada, and Martinique. 10-2 for their goals for versus goals against. Then we get to Curacao, finish 4th, Bermuda 5th, Cuba 6th, Guyana 7th, so they'll be in Group B with Jamaica. Jamaica in the Group B of the CONCACAF Nations League. This is a big upset for Jamaica. They were touted as one of the team from the qualifying process that would make it into Group A. They did not. Nicaragua finished 8th, Salvador 10th, just finished with Montserrat 11th, and Suriname 12th, because Haiti, Canada, Martinique, Curacao, Group A. Bermuda, Cuba, Guyana, Jamaica, Group B. Nicaragua, El Salvador, Montserrat, and Suriname in Group C.
Yeah, no, I like, you mentioned Jamaica. I think the important thing from the Canadian perspective is to look at the Jamaican results and to look at the Canadian results and sort of then, you know, push forward and think maybe we passed Jamaica. And this is the measure that we're all looking for. I love this Nations League concept. I think it is so needed in this region because it provides a real measurement over where these teams really, truly sit. And for years, one of my greatest frustrations was having people go, oh, you know, Canada's ranked 112th in the FIFA rankings. And, you know, it gets exhausting to explain why the FIFA rankings are ridiculous over and over and over again. Now, with one of the reasons they were ridiculous, though, is because Canada did not have the opportunity to measure itself against these teams. It didn't have the opportunity competitively to do so that you would have artificial rankings for them because they're playing Caribbean Cup qualifiers all of the time that count for more points, right? Now we don't have that. Now we can go, look, seriously, can we stop having debates whether we're better than the, you know, lower Antigua, British West Indies, whatever. I'm making an island name up out of my head, but whatever. Cayman Islands or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So, right?
Yeah.
It's been settled. They clearly are a step above these teams. And as I said earlier in the show, now it's time to play some real teams. I tweeted out yesterday, and Jonathan Tannenbaum, our friend Jonathan, you know, caught up in this because Jonathan likes to poke the bear a little bit sometimes when it comes to Canada. I would love to play the United States, though. I would love to have that measurement.
Yeah,
because,
yeah, we should. We should play now.
Yeah, tomorrow. Can we arrange it for tomorrow? Because I'd really like to see it. And maybe they lose again. Maybe because the States are better. And I have been consistently defending the United States program, you know, more than Americans have been in the past little while, right? But, yeah, it's time for us to have a measurement against these teams. And I guess we're going to have it this summer, right? It's going to be a fun June. Got the Women's World Cup. We got the Gold Cup. It's going to be a fun June.
It's going to be an amazing June. And July is going to be pretty great, too, because we're talking about Jamaica. I'll be in Jamaica. I'm going to come and see you beginning of the July. That will be fun. It'll be a great June. Most amazing June of my life for multiple reasons. Yes, it'll be the month of June who cost me a whole lot of money, too.
The most expensive
month of June ever. Kevin's getting married. So, yeah. All right. If we see us go back to old microphones, because the wedding costs a bit too much, so we'll see if that happens. I don't think so at all. It won't happen. But no, so quite happy with the Nations League. It was a qualifying, of course. I'm going to be interested to see the next CONCACAF Nations League with Group A, Canada facing teams like Mexico, United States, Costa Rica, Panama. And really, like, we'll lose most of those games, but we'll learn, we'll test ourselves, we'll have experience, we'll go play at Azteca. And then you expose your Jonathan David, your Alfonso Davies to 100,000 screaming fans at Azteca. So when you go back the following time, it's not new. You don't discover the stadium, the city, the hostilities. You still know it. So those are the important things about this Group A of the CONCACAF Nations League is... Next one, we're actually it's going to be difficult and we're going to challenge ourselves. But what comes out of challenging yourself? Well, usually you come out of it better.
No, fair enough. I'm going to speak blasphemy in Voyager circles right now. And you know who I want them to draw on the road?
Honduras. San Pedro Sula. We're going to
I would so like to go back there before they have to go back there when it really matters, right? You know, the Nations League, here's the thing, and I think Europeans will agree with this. The Nations League is fun, and it matters-ish. It's a little bit more important than friendly, but
quotes.
There's an ish on there.
Yeah, there's air quotes right now. It matters? It matters more than friendlies, less than qualifiers.
Yeah, it's fun. It's like a pressure-free kind of situation where you can go in there. So it's ideal to go into a matters-ish situation in San Pedro Sula before you're into a oh my god we need to win or our life is over kind of situation, which is what World Cup qualifying tends to be, right?
Yeah.
And now I'm getting stressed thinking of a World Cup qualifying. There's nothing more stressful. Oh god,
my palms are sweaty just talking about it. We're like just talking about Honduras, San Pedro Sula, and my palms are sweaty. Yes, already. And no, I did not have mom's spaghetti on my tank top. But to finish the show today, Dwayne, on top of the Nations League in the CONCACAF this weekend, there was 5 games in Major League Soccer. And obviously tomorrow on the show, we'll talk more about the U.S. and other friendlies that happened this weekend. And of course, the Euro 2020 qualifiers. But there was 5 games in Major League Soccer, Dwayne. And some of them were interesting. Orlando winning at Red Bull Arena 1-0. And you know, I've took someone's advice. I think it was Matt Doyle of MLSsoccer.com mentioned on social media. And you know, you should take players that play against Orlando, usually in your fantasy. Well, unfortunately, I captained a few New York Red Bulls and did not make a lot of points in my fantasy this weekend. And I blame the Red Bulls. Orlando 1, New York Red Bulls 0, FC Dallas 2, Colorado 1, Philly 3 versus Columbus. Big win for Philly at home. Their biggest win of the season so far, Dwayne. LAFC 2, Real Salt Lake. What a goal. What a dipper of a goal by Walker Zimmerman at the 92nd minute to give the win to LAFC. And FC Cincinnati with its second straight victory, its first ever on the road, won 2-0 in New England. That was the weekend in Major League Soccer, Dwayne.
The Revs, did you see the crowd in New England, by the way?
No, I saw the picture. I didn't see the crowd because I couldn't spot it.
Yeah.
I saw people. I don't call this a crowd.
You know, what I tweeted out on that photo, I'll reiterate here, is that, you know, I hear on mainstream media all the time, oh, the greatest owner in professional sports, Robert Kraft. I mean, his current issue aside.
He's the greatest owner in the NFL. That's about it.
Yeah, asterisk. It needs an asterisk on that because he's completely indifferent. I know you don't want to say this, but you look at what MLSC does across sports, and that to me is good ownership, right? And that it makes me a little shake a little bit when I say that, because I'm praising MLSC, which is hard to do as a Torontonian. But no, since the Bell Rogers came in, they've invested and they've cared about all their sports and even added the Argos, God bless them, to the fold in the last couple of years, right? Robert Kraft, what he's done to the Revolution is shameful. Boston is a big soccer town, but they talk about a town that needs two teams. Well, you know, Chicago and Boston, you let the Reds and the Fire do what they do and put a team actually in both of those cities and
what
you
a
know,
new branding
they're going to be. Yeah,
like new colors, new branding, bring a superstar. And we got LAFC all over again, this time in Chicago and in Boston. I agree with you. I think it's possible. I think one day we have to. But you're right. It was a shame seeing those pictures from Foxborough. But big win for Cincinnati on the road versus the Revs. Yeah, the Revs, they're kind of Revs. It's like they go up a certain level. One year they make a final or something. Then they go back down and they don't progress year to year. It's okay, it's Brad Friedel's second year. We'll give him a chance, but I'm not seeing growth. I'm not seeing a tactic, or I'm not seeing an identity, a style evolve and grow and become part of this team, right? It's just like, no offense, but so far they've looked like a bunch of misfits. And
yeah.
The classical word, the classical meaning, a misfit, too, as well as misfits.
Yeah, look, we've talked about this before, but MLS 1.0 teams, the 96 teams, they're actually ironically at a disadvantage over newer teams because they're burdened by their past. And other than the Galaxy, you really look, and well, even the Galaxy nowadays, there's just not that standard. Like, it's the opposite of hockey. Here's your bingo card, get your hockey. In hockey, the original six teams have a massive advantage because hockey is ingrained in the culture of the cities that they exist in, right? It's not the same with MLS 1.0 teams. They basically lost the generation in the late 90s that, you know, the Euros, basically. They went out, they saw one game, they saw the weird shootout and left, and they'd never come back. So they're kind of at a disadvantage. And if they don't reinvent themselves like Kansas City did, and there's your best example right there, actually not L.A., then you're screwed. So you talked about rebranding a minute ago.
The Red Bulls.
Kind of jokingly. The Red Bulls. But the Red Bulls don't excel off the They just figured out how to win on, right? It's a different
True.
Thing. And again, they rebranded
right.
as well. And they brought a new ownership. They completely changed it. They don't even seem like the same. The connection the Red Bulls have with Metro Stars is like the lines there. But it's, you know, it's like Vancouver to the Soccer Bowl champion team, right, in some ways.
Yeah, the line's not there, though.
Oh, it's better than that.
Yeah, it's better.
An actual connection. But nonetheless, the history is fleeting, but yeah, it's a shame. It's what I'm getting to. I'm sort of losing track here, but it's a shame what's happening in New England. It's a shame what's happening in Colorado. It's a shame
Columbus,
you know, what's happening in Columbus. Even we have this good story, but Columbus saved the crew, but they've got still a lot of work to do.
Now that you save the crew, support the crew. Hashtag support the crew. How about we start the hashtag support the crew?
Yeah, no, precisely. Yeah, you save the crew now. Good. Now what?
Now how about you support it? Yeah, that's going to be a good idea. But this was a weekend for us. Of course, there was some more games. Euro 2020 qualifiers. Mexico plays tomorrow. United States as well. And there's other great games. And we'll talk about it more tomorrow on Soccer Today, the world of football with a soccer perspective. You can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute because he's back on Twitter. So you can follow him again at 24th Minute. And he thinks he's Ric Flair for 1 second. But at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie. And we'll be back tomorrow. But until tomorrow, make sure you subscribe to our podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. Make sure you like our Twitter page at SoccerTodaySPN. This is where we go live Monday to Friday on our daily shows. And then the video show will be posted on YouTube and the podcast available everywhere you get your podcasts. And thank you for subscribing. And if you like French shows, I have my French show, Sur la Transversale, who was number 211 in Canada last week. You can listen to it every Tuesday afternoon as well. If you are a Montreal Impact fan, or if you are a francophone who wants to hear me talk about French soccer, well, French, talk about soccer in French, you can do that on Tuesdays. But until then, for Dwayne, I'm Kevin. Have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.